yeah, baby.
Yeah, we are.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You've got John Lopez. You got myself, Reginald Atatula. And, oh, look.
Oh, he's back.
He was day to day. But he's healthy.
What you mean?
He's good to go.
Yeah. I keep thinking today Monday, man.
I bet you do.
We were all pulling for you.
I bet that illness took that whole day off the mat for you, didn't it?
I feel better, man.
We were all pulling for you, Figgy. I don't know whether to call Figgy Aziz Al Figgy or Ferris Figgy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's funny. I ain't getting one. Hey, man, I hope you're doing well.
Oh,
man.
We were pulling for you. We were trying today.
Yeah. We were trying. We were trying to get people to go that way. I think
get sick on his birthday.
Very locked in sports radio.
Damn the luck.
Yeah, man. That's
darn the luck.
Man, it's real unfortunate.
It's the worst, man.
But you feeling better now, right?
Yeah. Feeling good, man.
Yeah. Good.
Did you lose 10 pounds?
I wish.
We got to do this like a hockey designation. Was it upper body, lower body? What were we talking about here, injury-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 631, or 361 rather, said Figgy slept on a Mattress Firm. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Mattress Firm. I need Tommy John.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Tommy John.
713 mentioned that, of course,
Lopez. Aziz Al Figgy.
Lopez is indeed petty about Figgy's day off.
Yeah, I am. I am.
Yeah, there it is.
I won't. I won't argue that one.
Hey, we did miss you. We miss you. We took a few shots. I'm gonna be completely honest. Okay. I'll tell you to your face. We took a few shots, but we are happy that you returned, Figgy Fig, back. So that, especially because we do not have to handle the mixtape again. It was all right, but it's not nearly as good.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It was an experience, man.
So 1:20 p.m. is when Figgy Fig gets going on the mixtape. Well, actually, he gets going right now, where we all get going in the loop. You get going with us as well. We got the YouTube, we got the Twitch, both of those going where you can get involved. So YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch is 610 Houston, and of course, the text line, 713-572-4610. Again, 713-572-4610. You get involved with the program. We love it. We see it. We interact with you as much as we can. And with that, question to ask, are you confident now about where this team could go compared to last week? Because last week you had a tight game with a Jacksonville Jaguars team that I don't think anybody rates particularly highly.
Yeah. Right? But just going into last week, if I asked you this question, are you not confident that this team can get where we thought they can get, what would the answers be? 50-50 at best?
That feels okay.
Right?
I can go with that.
Figgy, if I asked you last week, do you think they can get there from here?
Get where?
Get to like an AFC championship type contending team.
Last week or now?
Last week.
Last week.
Last week, I would probably say no.
Yeah. And now I'm there.
Okay.
Now you tell me, 713-572-4610, and you and Figgy tell me, I'm there really for two reasons. Number one, we know CJ Stroud. What else can you say? We're going to say a lot, but what else can you say? CJ Stroud right now is third. Keep in mind, a lot of people are saying, okay, he's been okay. He's had his moments. He's been great in big situations.
Yeah.
He's brought this team back. But has he had a great season? A lot of people say, well, yeah, maybe, whatever. Right now, he's third in yards.
Correct.
Eighth in yards per attempt.
Solid.
Has the number one PFF grade on third against the blitz on third down.
Well, yeah, third down, they've been monsters.
Yes. And he's in the top 10 in completion percentage, touchdowns, and quarterback rating. This is a guy that people are kind of hedging on.
And some of that, and again, we'll talk more about the early down offense because I've been flabbergasted. I've been floored. I've just been appalled. There's all sorts of adjectives that I can use there.
Gobsmacked.
That's a good one.
Have you been gobsmacked?
That is it. I definitely have been gobsmacked. You heard me get gobsmacked earlier.
I was like, what? Yes.
So, you know, they're about the early down efficiency when it comes to this offense. And to that end, some Timeout Houston on YouTube said, I'm still not there. They play dumb football.
That's what I wanted to ask.
But I think that you've seen that even with what we'll term dumb football in this instance, for lack of a better term, they can find a way to win games. And it feels kind of akin. It's kind of interesting watching Monday Night Football, which we'll talk more about, especially once B. Scott steps in the building at 11. But watching the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think we give the Kansas City Chiefs a lot of deference, and I'm not sure that they're actually as good as they have been in previous years, but did that not feel a little bit like what you had saw on Sunday as well from the Kansas City Chiefs last night?
Very much so.
Like they kind of struggled through it, but they did indeed get a win. It was a little sloppy, but you'd see the fact that they are a better team than who they had across from them.
Yeah. So CJ Stroud is reason number one. I am there. Tell me if you were there. Reason number two, and maybe even a bigger reason. Because this defense is the real thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah, man.
There's no more maybe this, maybe that. We're five games in. The template for what this team is going to be has been set. Now, there's going to be fluctuations, but five games in, you know what this team is going to be pretty much, by and large. The defense right now is fourth in total defense, third against the pass, and they just give up 154 yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. And the best part of all is that is what is you're going to need when you go through this gauntlet of quarterbacks that started this past weekend with Josh Allen. Then you got Jordan Love next week. Then you got Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff and Dak Prescott before the end of November. And then in December, you got Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I am there. I think this team can get there, and I don't know, if that's maybe rose-colored glasses or what, but where are you guys? Are you there? You think they can get where we thought they could?
I think the operative word within your sentence is can get there.
Yeah.
They are not there, right? We're seeing quite a few responses that kind of point to it, right? 832, I was there. They said they were there last week very confident, even though they had a subpar game. Reason being, started off kind of sluggish last year. Mm-hmm. Okay, feel you there. On the YouTube, Joseph says, I'm more willing to buy the idea that that they haven't played up to their full potential. Right. So, again, we're talking about potential and playing up to it. I think that is the illustration mm-hmm. of what's happening here is, I'm more interested in the idea. I think they can get there, but they need to still progress. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, my watchword is kind of incremental. Incrementalism, like I am in that place of get better every week because mm-hmm. I know that if you continue to get there, eventually you will reach the ceiling that is there for you. And that is a high enough ceiling. Winning the close game is cool,
yeah,
but they do need to get better, and it feels good that at least they can win the close game against the good teams, not just winning the close game against the bad teams,
yes.
Which does raise the question, is this a team that's going to play to their competition, which I think will be really helpful this next game in New England versus the Patriots, or will they then backslide in a way mm-hmm. and play down to the Patriots? Because if that's the case, then I got a real question.
Yeah.
If you're continuing to progress forward and they look better than they did in week five, then I'm like, okay, now I am continuing on the path of incrementalism, regardless of whatever that team is that's across from me.
Yeah, Figgy, I forgot to follow up. Are you there now?
Yes and no. I'm standing on the fence, but I'm there as far as like the way they've been winning games this year. They've been winning some close games, and CJ Stroud come through at the right moment, but. As far as not being there, I'm just ready to wait to. I'm ready for this offense to take over, man.
Yeah,
I feel like they haven't been bad, but I think maybe I was drinking the Kool-Aid too much this offseason because I expected this offense to be not really blowing people out. You don't really see that in the NFL, but it's scoring way more
efficient,
man.
And yeah. more points.
Yeah,
and all
it's saying like I'm still waiting on that offense to just take over.
See, my operative word, so to speak, of this whole thing and where I am is the template. Like five games in is not an accident. Like this is going to be a hell of a defense. They might burp up one bad game here or there. That happens, whatever. But this is going to be a really good defense with a really good secondary that makes life miserable for opposing quarterbacks, even the great ones. And here's the thing. Oh, Josh Allen had a bad day. Well, he had a bad day against this defense. That's Josh Allen over there. He doesn't have a whole lot of bad days. 9 for 30? That's not an accident.
And you have that was a Deshaun Watson type of game, man.
That's not an accident. Right, exactly. Yeah. I think you have to start questioning, is there correlation there, causation? Is there, like, how are we feeling with that particular level of poor play that you saw him come into?
Yeah.
The word, again, I guess we're just playing a watchword in this segment. The word that came to mind when you were talking there was one, or a phrase rather, that D'Amico Ryans kind of used, situational playmaking. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this defense, when it comes to the moments, can I say nut cutting?
Yeah.
All right. I always forget what is.
I usually am safe and just say cutting time.
Right. Which is why you will hear me say words like keister. I'm not trying to play on the boundaries here, buddy. I am trying to avoid the white line. But no, when it comes to those times, those big play moments, this defense, more often than not, is making a play, is mm-hmm. making a goal line stand, is breaking up a pass, right? Is stopping a quarterback draw,
mm-hmm.
right? They are making those plays, and so I think there's still definitely things that are going to be there in a salary cap sport. I don't know that you're going to get a perfect team, particularly on either side of the football, right? Mm-hmm. But if there was one kind of portion of the genetic makeup of a defense or a team that I'd say, give me that and we can work around that, it is situational playmaking. Make the plays at the big time, big moments, and we can add on top of that. Now, they do still need to add on top of that, right? Some of these guys running free over the top of the defense, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody going to hit them.
Yeah.
But like the idea that when it comes down to those big moments that this defense makes those plays, that's incredible for me. I think that that's huge. I think that plays in a big way. I mean, that's how you won this game in particular against the Bills on Sunday. It's just right at the right moments you made the big play.
And here's this is almost right down the middle on YouTube and Twitch and the text board. When Autry and Harris come back, the defense is going to take it up to an even higher notch. Frankly, I'm getting close to, I don't know if Harris is going to come back anytime soon.
But
he's right on Autry. And also, you know, they needed a field goal even though they held Allen down. That's fair. But, you know, I talk about, you know, the template with the defense. The template is there with C.J. Stroud as well. I mean, like, he makes those plays.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ugly game. He makes those plays. It's a first half pretty much, you know, total control against the Bills, but it gets close. He makes those plays. You know, the template for the offense, I mean, for the defense and C.J. Stroud is set, and that's what they're going to be, and that's what gets me there.
Yeah, I mean, again, with that word template, it reminded me of when I was taking notes, and I might have mentioned this. I don't think I mentioned it to you during the game, but I think it might have been yesterday in one of those breaks. The thing that gives me confidence is even if you do not feel like C.J. has had a fantastic run of play just yet, and I probably would tend to agree in that way, even though he is, as you mentioned, like he is leading in various different, and he is high up in various different statistics that you can, you know, rattle off.
Mm-hmm.
There was at least one play, and not many plays, but one play that was very illustrative of the point that I want to make, which was a check down to Dare on the left side of the field. And it was the reason why it felt important to me is you could visibly see CJ go through the progression.
You did mention that, yes.
All right, here's my check down. And the thing, and maybe I'm reaching. You tell me if I'm reaching again. 713-572-4610. But in throwing that check down, it did not feel like he was disgruntled in throwing that check down. It felt like he had a great level of confidence in this is where the football is supposed to go.
Yeah.
This is how I'm supposed to do it. Get it there, right?
The smart play is this, so I'm going
to
do it.
And he's talked about that in his the level of growth that he has, of like not feeling like he has to press and not feeling like he's, you know, got to make the big play, make the right play. And you could see it in his mechanics. Like, he's going through his progressions quickly. You could tell he's processing what's happening, not just, like, looking across the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the right play is, hey, just dump it down. He's not like, damn it, man, I really wanted to. He's just, hey, this is.
Or forcing it elsewhere.
Get the ball to where it's supposed to go. Let that guy go make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fantastic baseline for your quarterback because you know he's going to do what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, what have we talked about with some of the other, you know, wannabe great quarterbacks in this league, guys that have, you know, great arm talent or great, traits that they're trying to put together into big quarterback plays. Like, okay, you can make the big plays, but can you make the mundane, boring ones?
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Stroud can make those in spades.
Right.
And you see that in a play just like that for me, where it's just like, hey, part of making that play was acknowledging what was happening, reading the defense, getting the ball to your playmaker in space.
The 281 with a great way to put it. In past years, the Texans didn't win these types of games. That is absolutely true. And you know why? They didn't have a defense that could shut down a great quarterback. They didn't have a defense that ranked in the top four, and they didn't have
What's the difference between three
and four? and they didn't have a quarterback that could make in close games winning plays. Like, there's a lot to talk about some of the warts that they need to sort of work on here.
Yeah, man.
And we will. You were mentioning first and second down. We're going to get to that. And Bobby Slowick, and we're going to get to that. And Dare Ogunbowale, we're going to get to that. But in past years, as the 281 put it, they didn't have these two elements, the core elements, a defense that can hold a great quarterback in check and a quarterback that can make the big play.
Yeah. And now the other things around, let's progress on those.
Yeah.
But that is a fantastic baseline. And you saw it against the best test that you've had just yet. Maybe you say the Vikings is a better test, but at least you saw it here against the Bills. And so, I feel, to answer your question, I definitely feel more confident that they can get to the ultimate place that we expect them to after this week compared to last week.
Yeah.
Real quick before we go here, D'Amico Ryan's talked yesterday. We'll use some of that audio throughout the course of this show. But it feels like every day we get some, yo, what's happening to Christian Harris? Where's Christian Harris? Well, here's D'Amico Ryans actually giving us an update on Christian Harris. You might not like it.
Not yet. We're still waiting on Christian. Christian is improving. He's doing well. We actually had Christian down on the sideline yesterday. It was just encouraging to see him down there, see his support, his energy that he brings to our team. And whenever we can get Christian back, it'll be beneficial for everyone. I'm excited about his growth and his development. I'm still very encouraged by that. And Christian will be, he'll pick up right where he left off.
Whenever?
The tone, man.
It was encouraging for him to be on the sideline?
Yes.
What happened to him?
It's good. What is he, Figgy? Is it good just for him to stand up?
Sorry, Figgy. You're going to get this all day. Mama, all day long.
Mama, I can walk.
That's right.
I can walk, mama.
I mean, it, just for him to be standing up on the sideline.
Oh, man.
And then the tone. Like, compare that tone to, like, when he's talking about Daria Gumbawale. You know? Like, he's like, hey, this is awesome. And he's like, I don't, you know. We'll see.
Whenever we get him back, he'll be a great help. Yes, that's why we've been asking. That's why we've been asking.
I mentioned this. I think I mentioned it on air. I'm not total speculation from a radio knucklehead like me, but it just felt like he had surgery. Felt like it.
That would track with the idea that, hey, man, he's standing on the sideline and it's great to see it. And whenever we get him back, like it does feel like this is more significant.
He had that. He came back for one practice. Then, boom, got shut down. Then we don't hear from him. When was that practice? That was like the last week of training camp?
All right. Do we have a reckless speculation sounder of any sorts? Do you have anything that you can repurpose into a reckless speculation?
It feels like he has.
Okay, breaking news. Reckless speculation here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. What week does he get back?
Report it, Lopez.
Yeah, I'm look, and again, reckless speculation. We have no insight here.
I am reporting that it's possible in my gut, I feel it, that he had surgery.
Well, like week 8, week 10?
When does he come back?
Yeah. Again, reckless speculation. I can't say that enough.
I can't see before week 10.
Whoo!
Right?
Do we come back after the bye week?
I'm looking at the bye week, at the schedule right now. When's the bye week? October, no.
No, that's too soon. Right, if we're still talking October, that's still
week
too soon.
Week 14. Yeah, he'll be back before the bye week. Week 14 is the bye.
No, I'm just playing. I hope so.
Well, I mean, Figgy knows a little something about missing time. I'm gonna be completely honest.
Hey, I know.
Happy birthday to our guy, Fig.
We were all pulling for you, man.
We sure were.
I actually did the sign of the cross.
He sure did. He stopped me in my track.
I made it, mama.
Yeah, he made it. God bless. Yeah. God bless. All right, man. It's in the Loop. Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Texas Ticket Tuesday. Wait, hold on. How'd that happen?
Yeah.
It is a Texas Ticket Tuesday. You want to keep it locked because in the 12 o'clock hour, we will be indeed giving away a couple of tickets. Or is it a Texas Ticket Tuesday? Am I bugging?
Yeah, it is.
Ooh,
right.
Is it?
Oh, no. No home game.
That's right. Nope. I got used to having home games. Yeah. Texas Ticket. All right, so retract whatever I said.
Yeah.
Whatever I said was nonsense. Yeah. That was also reckless speculation.
That was reckless speculation.
All right, coming up next, some breaking news on the day, or I guess developing news at this point. The Jets fired Robert Saleh. So what does that mean for the Texans, who will play them 3 weeks out? And who might be next? We'll do all that next.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio.
That's right. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Hope you're having a wonderful time in H-Town or wherever you're listening. We appreciate you no matter what you're doing, and especially if you're listening on the Odyssey app. That's always cool. But YouTube, Twitch, all available for you, and always the text line as well. 713-572-4610. Yes, Figgy is back. Figgy is well. Figgy is a year older. I don't think that's exactly how it works, but you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's his birthday yesterday. Make sure you send him congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
How's the hospital food yesterday?
Oh, man, it was I don't know. Where I went yesterday, I probably should have had some.
I'm just saying.
Man. I'm just saying.
Actually, that really only lands for us because people don't know where he went. If you do know where he went, you understand. Yeah. It's a little bit spicy. Yeah. Just a little bit spicy of a take.
Yeah.
But yeah, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. The big news of the morning was that a coach has been fired in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And going to be completely honest, not the one that I was expecting in the course of all of this.
Not this soon.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought it was in play, but not week 5. You know?
Yeah, it is very early, or I guess technically we're into week 6 in this way.
Well, but true, yeah.
On a two, a lot of weird things about the way that this one happens. It is New York Jets, I guess former head coach at this point, Robert Saleh, has been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, apparently Woody Johnson, owner of the team, put out a statement just now that this morning he informed Robert Saleh that he will no longer serve as the head coach of the Jets. He thanked him for all his work the past 3.5 years and wished him and his family well moving forward. It was not an easy decision, but we're not where we should be given our expectations. And I believe now is the best time for us to move in a different direction. Close quotes. Yeah, there's a lot of things that kind of hit me immediately about this. First of all, it happened on a Tuesday as opposed to a Monday.
Yep.
Typically, you lose a game on a Sunday, and hey, we're not going to have you back in the building doing all this stuff, but I guess they let him go through watching film or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what took Woody Johnson so long.
They was playing in London, too, right? Was they playing overseas?
Oh, they were right. Playing in London. That's what it was. Yeah. They had to travel back.
Yeah,
all right, appreciate you, Fig. But they did wait till like 10 Eastern draft.
They were back early Monday. I mean, or you know, early in the morning.
Yeah, but you know, that was a long flight. So get your rest.
Let the guy get some rest before we
fire in the morning.
Come in in the morning on a Tuesday.
It'd be distasteful to fire.
Yeah, we don't
want to
be distasteful.
Yeah, we do it tomorrow.
Yeah, did they have somebody at the door as soon as you walked in? Like, hey, don't go to your desk. We got to go straight somewhere. Lopez, what for you was like the thing that caught your attention about Robert Saleh being fired? The first one in Woody Johnson's 25-year tenure to be fired mid-season.
The two things that jumped out at me, foremost, the Texans play the Jets this month.
Correct.
On Halloween, they play the Jets. So that should be, you know, interesting and probably a dub. You know, if you really are honest about things, you know, interim coach, Aaron Rodgers running the team. That's number one. Number two, I mean, there's one right there. That's an attractive job. If you're an assistant coach, that maybe got some interviews last year.
So Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson is one. That's not the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Like someone
who
like,
could he possibly be talking about?
Like Bobby Slowick. My mind went there. I mean, why not?
Yeah. Well, I guess when you are close to it like we are, there have been Bobby Slowick questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that, you know, especially going through the, you know, the interview process, and it seemed like he aced all the interview questions and those types of things. Yeah, that does feel like another opportunity that opens up for the possibility of Bobby Slowick, NFL head coach in next season. Right. So those are things that you begin to think about. With this team, obviously you cannot send your mind there, but I guess that is Cal's job and Nick Caserio's job to begin thinking about some of those things, because I guess obviously D'Amico is going to be hiring in the course of this, but those are all things you have to consider in some ways, because it's already opening up, and if you have a job opening up this early, you have to imagine quite a few more, or at least a few more, will open up after that. Somebody already asking, is Nathaniel Hackett become the interim coach? And I know that's a lot where a lot of people went to, because I think that is the one guy on the of the coordinators who has head coaching experience. Thankfully, I don't know exactly how we categorize that. That is not where they went. They went with defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who... Was he calling plays? Because my immediate assumption is that Robert Saleh called the plays.
I'm sure it was collaborative, like here.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, obviously very much like here.
Similar system,
yeah, very,
right? Yeah,
very much like here. Those are the first two places I went. And then I'm not even really kidding about this, I don't think. They should just let Aaron Rodgers run the show. He already is.
I mean, kind of. I do wonder if, and we were talking about this earlier in the handoff, I do wonder if he enjoys being able to influence decisions without having like the ultimate responsibility of those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't know that they're actually going to in any way. And of course, they've already given an interim title, but I don't think that they would ever in any way really go full full, no, he wants full player coach.
Yeah, he wants plausible deniability.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not the head coach.
Right.
Yes, you are.
Like, I hate to say it, but I have a level of, I relate to that somewhat because I always say I want maximum fun, minimum responsibility. And titles come with a lot of responsibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wonder if like this allows, well, first of all, it does feel like that this was just impacted in a good amount by Aaron Rodgers and the tiff that him and Robert Saleh seemed to get into over the last week or two.
And that's just what we saw. You know, we saw some things on the field when he's like kind of almost shoving him away. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't even thought about that, but like within that context,
kind of like, get out of my face. That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then,
honestly, I was going to say, I felt like it stemmed back from last season. Because it seemed like it was a bleep show. And I know he didn't have Aaron Rodgers, so that was the whole talking point that once he get Aaron Rodgers back. But the way he handled that quarterback situation wasn't good.
Yeah, man, Robert Saleh.
It was a hot mess last season. Yeah.
Right. Robert Saleh, 20-36 over his tenure. But three of those seasons, he has Zach Wilson quarterback for the majority of it. In the first five games, Rodgers actually gets a chance to really play and complete.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Like, that's a tough situation there, especially to then cite, the actual, like, record and, I guess, not being where you want to be as the reason for firing him.
Really, for me, this wasn't the first things I thought of, but I feel like this, the wheels started getting in motion here, and I felt personally like that's a short timer. In the off season, when Aaron Rodgers missed those mini camp, and Robert Saleh just looks soft, like just soft, just wavering and letting him just do what he wants. And he just looked like, if I'm Woody Johnson, which, by the way, Woody Johnson is putting out through sources and media in New York, I technically didn't hire him. It was his brother-in-law. It's because when he was
ambassador, UK.
He couldn't do it. So he's like already kind of floating that. I didn't hire him, you know, but, No, but like Robert Saleh, I thought this all started in the offseason. Like, what are you doing? Have a backbone.
Well, I think that puts these things in flux for the Jets, and you've got them in 3 weeks. I imagine that's got to help in some regard, or maybe they all get in one accord in some ways. But yeah, the question I had was Olbrich, who's going to be the interim, has he called plays? Because if he is picking up now calling plays on defense and having the responsibility of handling all of the coaching decisions, right, in managing the game, you might see errors in that situation. And I know that people wanted to, you know, kind of have questions for Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans in some ways, maybe not nearly as many as they have for Sean McDermott. How much more do you see that for a head coach that is learning on the job during the course of this and picking up a whole bunch of responsibilities? That's one thing. Yeah. Two, people are immediately doing the, hey, Robert Saleh worked with D'Amico Ryans. Could he possibly join the Texans staff?
I don't think so. Not anytime soon.
Nah.
They like Matt Burke. I don't know if Matt Burke's going to get any head coaching interviews, to be honest. He'll be here for a little bit, as will D'Amico.
And finally, who gets the next one, boot? Because I honestly...
Doug Peterson.
Yeah, that's still...
I would have bet on Doug Peterson.
Yeah, that's the coach disappointed me, man. They were supposed to kill him. They didn't, man.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
And you missed it. We talked to AFC South yesterday. They got a win this weekend, too.
Yeah, they did.
Now, it was against the Colts, but they got a win. Mm-hmm. They did get a win. Someone asking, so I'm guessing Davante Adams isn't going to the Jets? Oh, contrary. I think this makes it more possible.
If
Aaron Rodgers got this kind of juice to get anybody fired, he might have the juice to be like, hey, you know my favorite wide receiver of all time.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to get to where we want to go, you firing dudes because we're not where we need to be, give me Davante Adams. So I think that might make some things shake, if we're going to be completely honest. But yes, if you have not heard the news, the New York Jets have fired Robert Saleh. You will see the Jets on Halloween. And I think, they're just unstable enough for now the Texans to have even better chance of whooping that keister.
Yep.
But there you go. You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, actually inspired by that story, in breaking the news of Robert Saleh being fired, you know where Adam Schefter was? In the back of a Uber. I mean, he was on TV talking about this in the back of an Uber, and I was like, man, that Uber driver was just in the right place. He got a chance to just hear that news first, and that got us thinking, what is your happened to be there story? 713-572-4610. We'll break those down next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's get into our question of the day. What's your happen to be there story? It's inspired by the New York Jets news of Robert Saleh being fired. And more pointedly, it's inspired by Adam Schefter breaking that news from the back of an Uber, getting on TV. And we were just thinking about it from the Uber driver's perspective. It's like, you had to just be like, wait, first of all, I got Adam Schefter here. That's crazy. And you just see him furiously on his phones. You gotta be like, oh, something's happening all of a sudden. I bet he was just on the radio. He probably heard it on the radio. Well, we're seeing this.
Adam Schefter reports.
Adam Schefter reports.
Wait a minute. He's like,
wait,
right,
hold on.
Me.
or how much you want to bet the Uber driver had no idea who this guy was?
That's also possible.
That's more possible than you think.
It really is. But one thing I've noticed is I've always had a lot of respect for the Uber drivers and appreciation because they if you like sports, they be in that car listening to sports talk all the damn time.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I got in the Uber one time. They was actually listening to 610. I don't think the guy realized who I was. Mm-hmm. So I just kept it quiet.
You don't give him a little?
Nah. Unless they say something.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
So you didn't say, do you know who I am?
Nah.
Yeah, that's a little much. That's a little much. But also, yeah. You could have.
Yeah, he was kind of flipping around too. He flipped to the other station.
Oh, okay. So you're like, nah, never mind.
What are you doing?
I started to say something, but
you're not locking it
in. Put it back.
Yeah, you got to lock it in on 610. Come on now. What you doing? What's your happen to be there story? Because our guy Sean came in and when we were prepping pre-show, and he told us a fantastic happen to be there story.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell it nearly as well as he did because you know he was there, and I'm sure he's had
plenty of time.
Yes, he does. He has had plenty of time to think about it as well. But apparently, the day that OJ Simpson went on the white Bronco chase.
Yeah,
obviously he's watching the Rockets game. He's at like a party of some sorts, and he's watching the TV.
And Lou Holtz is there.
Well, you gave away the kicker.
I thought that's what we're doing.
I was gonna try and set up as best I could. He's watching the game. OJ,
my bad.
The OJ thing pops up. He's watching, and all of a sudden,
now you gotta do the impression.
Sliding in from
me?
The left.
Hell yeah, no. You.
Sliding in from the left is Lou Holtz saying that.
I can't do Lou Holtz.
Yeah, you gotta.
I cannot
do it.
You
gotta
do
it now.
No, okay, very good.
Lou Holtz.
All right, go ahead and give us your story then, since you're just gonna mess up Sean's.
All right, do you want the one where I spurned Fidel Castro intentionally?
What?
Or I spurned Martin Sheen accidentally?
Yes.
My Martin Sheen story, I was kind of hanging around with Charlie Sheen for, you know this, Figgy, for a couple of years because he used to travel with the team when I was covering the NBA, and I got to know him a little bit because we always sat in the back of the airplane. And so I got to know him a little bit, hung out with Charlie Sheen a couple of times here and there. And so one day we were covering
that Tiger Blood.
It was during Platoon and all that stuff. He was like top of the game. And so I asked Charlie once, you know, I told him I love your dad, you know, Martin Sheen, and love to meet him sometime, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm covering the Spurs at Lakers. All right. And the game ends, and I'm on deadline, and I'm sweating because this is back when you have to be on a deadline.
You had to phone it in.
Yeah, and get it in, yeah. And so I'm outside the Lakers locker room. I'm about to go in to talk to, you know, Magic and Kareem and Worthy and all that. I'm all, you know, got to get these quotes and all that. Somebody taps me on the shoulder, and it's Charlie. It's Charlie Sheen. And I'm in a huff. I kind of say, Charlie, I can't right now. First of all, I'm telling Charlie Sheen, Charlie,
look at this
guy right now.
Look at this guy.
Like, how weird is that?
Look at this guy.
Like, how weird is that? And as I turn back around to go into the locker room, because they open the doors as I'm saying that, I'm like, Charlie, I can't right now. And as I turn back, I realize that standing behind Charlie Sheen with his hands folded was Martin Sheen.
Damn.
He brought Martin Sheen down from the Forum Club to meet me. And I spurned him. And so after the interviews and after I filed my story, I go back up and I'm just like completely red as a beet, embarrassed and all that. And I kind of saunter over to Charlie Sheen and say, hey, sorry about that. He goes, oh, man, no problem, man. And his dad comes over and I shake his hand and apologize and all that. But like I spurned Martin Sheen. That is the one that I will never forget.
Yeah.
I'm just humiliated.
Damn, that's tough.
I can't right now.
Yeah, you was wilding a little bit, but I get it. Like the stresses of the you was at work at that point. You know, sometimes like, hey, you can't do this at work. From the 832 on the text line, they said they were happened to be getting coffee And Dusty Baker walked in. Well, okay, what'd he get? What'd he order? I want to know what Dusty Baker gets at the coffee shop. Like, is he a scone guy? You know what I mean? Is he getting a muffin? Is he tea guy at the coffee shop? I want to know. I want to know that about Dusty. For me, somewhat similar, but also very different. So I popped over to a friend's house who was having a crawfish boil. And I love me a good crawfish boil. And I was coming in a little late because I was coming from work. So I pop into the crawfish boil, and, you know, I'm used to just, he likes leaving his door open. So we, you know, you just walk into the house and people are mingling outside by the pool, inside by the kitchen, all sorts of things, right?
Meandering.
So I pop in and, you know, hey, Reggie. And I look over and I'm like, is that Avery Johnson? And yes, it was Avery Johnson.
Shoot the ball. Shoot the ball.
yes. Being the life of the party out here. Avery Johnson walks over and shakes my hand and I'm like, why?
What are you doing here?
Yes. And apparently he was working with someone else that happened to come to the crawfish boil. And so that person was coming and I guess invited Avery Johnson. And Avery Johnson was just like, yes, I would love to go to a crawfish boil. and not only was he at a crawfish boil, he became the life of the crawfish
boil. I guess.
And it's just like, I was expecting to just on a holiday eat some crawfish. And all of a sudden now talking to Avery Johnson.
Chopping it up with Avery Johnson.
Fun time.
Yeah. So my moment is actually kind of local. So the first time I met the Meniers, I was at a fundraiser event at Minute Maid, and I was actually working my side hustle, doing the photo booth
stuff.
Yes, sir. And I seen them. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, let me introduce myself because I never met them before. And I walked up to him like, hey, how you doing? Figgy Fig. I work for the sports radio. They were like, oh my goodness. like, no way. Figgy? Like, what's up? And Calvin there, he gave me the infamous line. I should put this back in my bio.
Yeah.
But he said, wow, you sound a lot taller on the radio.
Which is crazy. That is something that only a tall person can say.
Yeah. So we was talking for a little bit. This was right after, I forgot what draft this was.
Yeah.
I want to say, I think it was the first draft with Nick Caserio. His first draft, I want to say.
Yeah.
And, or first or second. I can't remember. But they were just like, Cal poked me on the shoulder like, what you think of the draft, man? What you think of the draft? And I'm like, I think they did. I think it might have been the year they got Stingley.
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, man. He was just like really wanted to know what I thought. And then he started explaining how Nick Caserio was working. And he was just like so focused. And, you know, they just watched him work.
Yeah.
And that made me feel happy because I'd be worried about some of these owners that trying to overstep and try to control stuff.
Yeah.
But they were just like super laid back. We were like, we just watched them work. He was just focused. And this person went off the board and Nick stayed calm and all this. So I was just like,
My happenstance, two popped into mind. My happenstance one like that was I was covering the Rangers against somebody way back. And they had the media dinner.
Yeah.
You know, media dinner upstairs.
God bless the media dinner.
And this is at old Arlington Stadium. And I sit down just eating by myself, you know, I'm covering a game and these seats taken and it was Mickey Mantle and and some other dude.
Dang.
Mickey Mantle sat right in front of me and had the pregame meal and, you know, we just like chatted. And then the other one that just popped into mind, my wife, and I got to give her credit because she's a huge, huge, huge Astros fan. And she was at, believe it or not, I mean, she knows. It's not like she confused him with anybody. She was at HEB and kind of going through some meat or something, even which is ironic because she was buying it for me. She's a pescatarian. But anyway, she's going through the meat, kind of looking at some whatever, steaks or ribs or something. And Jose Altuve starts reaching down and grabbing some stuff, doing the same thing.
Hell yeah.
Jose Altuve shopping at HEB.
That's right. Yeah. He knows what's good.
Hey, this ain't just no commercial.
And she did the
real life.
She did the classic. It was real life.
I'm about this. I'm true to this.
There were no cameras there.
Yeah. And, this ain't no commercial.
And she said she did the double take, the old, you know, you look and then you look again. And that he was super cool, didn't say a thing. She didn't say anything. She didn't want to bother him. And they just grabbed their steaks or whatever and went their own way. Like, Jose Altuve is grabbing, he's shopping at HEB. It's real.
These are my favorite. Someone on the text line mentions met Lopez at a Texans game. He was a cool guy. Okay, good. Okay.
Oh, cool, man.
979, similar to me, Yuli Gurriel showed up at their house with the Cuban buddy for a crawfish bowl in 2020. He's a badass. All right, very good. Someone else mentioned that they ran into and hung out briefly with Mario Williams at an ATV park. Okay. And I don't want to forget one. Oh, yeah, this one here. 832. Happened to be in line behind Seth Payne at Subway on Cullen at the Beltway. Ordered a footlong tuna. Okay, so now we know what.
Somebody says Lopez met Babe Ruth. Come on, man.
But did you?
No. Well, come on,
man.
He was
around during that time.
Come on.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Mickey Mantle. That was an awesome one.
Some various. Ashley Simpson and Ryan Cabrera. Coming in on the Twitch is the word that I was looking for. Said that they saw them at a Mavs game. Okay, very good. The ushers told people that they couldn't come out anymore. So she yelled, "You act like you're Britney Spears or something." That's you heckled. Oh, no, man. You didn't mean it. You heckled Ashley Simpson at a game. That's crazy. Some other ones: Hakeem Olajuwon, Andre Ware, and George Springer all working at Verizon. Well, while they were working at Verizon. Shout out to Gus.
Oh, that's good.
Got you. All right. And then Wes said he hit me with the double take at the Jags game. Yeah. Hey, man, if you see us at the game, definitely stop by, say what's up. We want to hear that. But yeah, your happen to be there stories. As one Uber driver, I imagine, had quite the happen to be there story this morning as he was toting around Adam Schefter as he broke the news of Robert Saleh being fired from the New York Jets. All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about that time where B. Scott will join us, and we'll go around the NFL, talk a little about Monday night football, and more next.